Hi there, and welcome back to the Energy Sector Heroes podcast. My name is Michelle Fraser, and every week I will speak with incredible people who share their lessons, experiences, and stories from their time spent in the energy sector. Hi there, and welcome back again to this week's episode. If you're new to the show, then please take a second to subscribe and even consider sharing the show with just one other person. This week, I am joined by Laurel Quinn. Laurel is an incredible CEO with over 30 years experience in leadership and marketing. Laurel, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me on this show. Yes, I'm Laurel, the CEO at CodePlan, which is Scotland's not-for-profit digital skills bootcamp. And just a bit about CodePlan, we transform people's careers and unlock opportunities for diverse talent through our immersive professional software development and professional data analysis boot camps. So that means we get really great talent into industries like the energy sector in really short space of time, taking them from other careers, like a lot of career changers, and putting them into great companies.
Okay, that sounds really interesting and really relevant, actually, to this my listeners. So how did you get started in that industry?
Well, I had been involved in training kind of throughout my career. I was head of digital for an investment company, so I was on a trajectory bringing that team with me. So we actually created the website, all the emails, all the marketing plans, all the CRM. There was a lot of activity going on, and really managed to scale that business quite dramatically from 6 countries to 30 countries in 10 years through all the different automations and ways that we kind of through the technical aspect from digital. And then I started branching out into the other teams. So what can we do with HR, operations, you know, the other bits of the business that kind of grew from there. So it was a slow but fast transition, if you like.
Okay, excellent. So how do you transfer? You were saying before you transfer people's career. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so someone might come to CodePlan and be really interested in switching careers from like a sector that might be in decline or changing, or they don't kind of see that there's an opportunity for that person in that industry. Might be like hospitality or manufacturing or, you know, something else that they're doing, and they really want to see themselves on a different trajectory. And the technology sector is continuing to grow and evolve, and there's so many jobs becoming available and so many opportunities and so many different types of company that it is a really attractive route for a career changer to move in from a particular sector into the tech sector. So we're seeing a lot of people doing that transition. They might have kind of already got a degree in another subject matter, and then they come to CodePlan and do this immersive bootcamp style program with us for 16 weeks for the software one or 14 weeks for the data one. And we help them get jobs through that process as well. So they go into companies and they're kind of, you know, typically progressing in those companies really fast because they've got previous experience. It might be in customer services or hospitality or, you know, leadership roles in other industries that helps them accelerate through those organizations that they go into and help those companies succeed.
Oh, no, that sounds amazing. So is it easy for people to change industries?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard work. You know, we're not going to lie and say it's easy. There's a lot of work involved in the program, but really, you don't need prior experience in tech to do a program like CodePlan. The way the admissions process works is that you do puzzle and logic tests to get into the program. If we feel that you have an aptitude to learn, then we'll kind of bring you on the journey. And you do very much, you're part of a cohort, but we really help each individual student as well. So it's a really successful model. And so far, we've put 2,000 people through our immersive programs and into industry. And we're looking to scale that up even further by launching part-time programs so that people can, and on-demand programs so that people can access the content and zoom into live lessons, et cetera, at times that suit them, wherever they are in the country.
Okay. So is it more for people that are mid-career rather than starting off after being a graduate?
Yeah, so we've actually launched a youth academy for 16 to 24-year-olds, because you're right, the people that are doing our immersive programs start at kind of around 25-year-olds and above. I mean, we have people that are 60 that have done our programs. But the youth academy, that's a 4-week boot camp that we launched last year. And that's really to get people who are leaving school or college into a career in tech as well. So, and that's really exciting, because there's a lot of interest from that younger generation in terms of getting into the tech sector as well. So yes, we're approaching it from many angles, but it's all about plugging the skills gap and bringing more diverse talent into the tech sector, into roles in all sectors, to be honest, because every sector is technology enabled. So how can we plug those skills gap for the companies that need those skills, and how do we do it quickly, and how do we get the learned experience from people that are career changers and bring that into organizations, and bringing in diverse talent as well with all the background experience as well as those tech skills that can help them really improve the trajectory of the companies that they're going into.
No, that sounds amazing, actually. So what is the most challenging thing about your current role?
I think for me, I've been in the role for 7 months now, so there's been some change in the organization, so bringing the teams along with me, I'm adding in this new product, so the part-time on-demand product, that's another kind of thing that we're doing at the moment. We've actually been going through the Tech Scalers program ourselves as a company, so how do we learn how to, you know, grow the business at pace, which has changed a lot of the ways that we're working in the teams. So there's a lot of exciting new changes that we're actually using with technology in our own organization, which is requiring a sort of change of ways of doing things. And yeah, it's a real process of change, but it's a lot of exciting things that are going on at the same time. So yeah, a lot of challenges, but a lot of good things. And it's great to see the progression of the team as they adopt all the new ways of working, and you know, launching new products and things into market is a really exciting time.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. How do you handle all this change that's going on in your...
I think it's just bringing people with you. So, you know, kind of not saying this is what we're doing, but it's kind of getting people's buy-in and feedback and, you know, helping them understand, you know, new ways of working and new things to do, you know, new ways of doing things. And part of the program that we're doing with Tech Scalers is accessing all this Reforge content, which is this excellent training program that comes with the Tech Scalers. Being on the Tech Scalers program, we get access to all of this, and the teams have really benefited from that. And then we've brought other companies from industry that are partners to us that have come in and done bits of training for the teams in terms of new ways of agile working and sprints and product ownership and all these different ways that we're integrating new ways to work in the teams. And that's worked really well. So it's not just saying this is what we're doing, it's actually modeling it, me doing it as well, everybody participating, getting the feedback from the teams, and making sure that everyone is on the same page and everyone knows the direction and everyone's bought into it and everyone's able to contribute and understands why we're doing certain things. So yeah, it's about collaboration and creating an environment where it's okay to test and learn and fail, you know, and that people can be honest and open. And it's all about the collaboration piece.
No, that sounds amazing. Leading on from that, what makes an outstanding hire in your opinion?
I think it's people that really want to solve problems, you know, and actually getting into the why are we doing that? You know, not just coming in and going, oh, because we did that, we should continue to do that. That makes, you know, that makes sense. And that does in some instances, but it's just really being able to understand why we're doing something, you know, look at ways that we can improve things. So I think it's having an inquisitive mind, an open mind, being adaptable to change, knowing that we don't know what we don't know and continuing to learn. And I think for me, it's all about, you know, spotting opportunities, being able to pivot, to being able to communicate, to, you know, to being able to understand data. And these are all the things that I look for in the teams. So everyone has their unique set of skills, but how can we collaborate and learn and work together and continue to share that learning. And it's those types of people that, you know, you find that you really want in the team. You want, you know, they help you succeed because they're collaborative. They're bringing everyone on the journey. They're sharing information. They're, you know, they have that inquisitive mind, but they have a willingness to work as a team, and then also to kind of, you know, go away and do things, but come back and regroup and, you know, keep everyone on the same page, really. So, yeah, a lot of qualities. Yeah, there is obviously people that are strong in certain things and certain other things that complement each other. So that's how teams work.
Yeah, that is very good advice. I was just wondering, you were saying when you are able to place people that come on your program into other organizations, what do the employers actually look for? What qualities do they normally look for?
Yeah, they are looking for the technical understanding. You know, that's why they hire the CodeClan graduate. But they're looking for the past experience as well, and also the willingness to learn, the meta skills, like the kind of presentation, the, you know, the collaboration, the written and verbal communication, you know, all of these things. And that's the benefit sometimes of the more mature student, you know, that has that life experience, that is able to come into work in an agile environment and communicate and present and has a growth mindset and, you know, is able to cultivate those supportive relationships and improve teamwork. So, you know, part of what we teach at CodeClan is the careers coaching, but we also teach the life, those other meta skills like the presentation, and then we teach them wellness skills as well, so they kind of know how to not burn out and look after themselves. And, you know, they really come out of CodeClan as a really well-rounded person. And because we've given all the technical frameworks and languages, as well as the kind of the overriding, like, bigger picture, you know, meta skills, the people that hire from us, the companies that hire from us, they come back and they repeat hire because they know the quality of student that comes out at the end is a really well-rounded person that has that growth mindset, that is able to manage stress and, you know, has the tools that they need to succeed. So, yeah, that's one of the core principles. So you'll find that, you know, students that leave CodeClan, they've been taught to learn how to learn. So they are able to deal with that level of uncertainty and problem solve in a way that kind of really helps them succeed. And that's what the companies that hire from us get. And they also get that diverse background as well.
That sounds really good, because it is really hard to teach someone how to do problem solving. Mm-hmm. It's a really good skill to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you still want to achieve in your career?
Yeah. Well, when I was at school, I directed this school play, and somebody had asked me recently about what did I still want to do? And I thought I could write a book and then turn it into an Amazon series, and then I'd be good. So that would be great, because I'd kind of given up on my aspiring directorial career. But yeah, I'd still love to write a book and have it turned into an Amazon TV series or Netflix. Obviously, I'm not biased. Either is good. But yeah, I think that's a bit silly right now. What I'm trying to focus on is getting more diversity in tech. And that's the more, you know, urgent, pertinent thing that's on my mind right now. With the launch of our flexible on-demand program in the autumn, that will enable many more people from many more backgrounds to experience the same quality program, but the ability to consume it in a way that fits around their lives, and to get more funded places for diverse audiences into that. We're also launching sustainability engineering in the coming weeks, which will be available to all our immersive students. So all our immersive students will be able to take this program, which is the first of all, why should we be coding in such a way? You know, what's the fundamentals? What's the rationale? And why are we doing that? And obviously, it's to get us on a trajectory to net zero. And then subsequently, what are all the techniques? Like, how do I actually apply this in my daily job? So all the graduates that are going through CodeClan will have those skills, which will be a huge benefit to industry. And then also industry will be able to access that content. It will be available as an on-demand service, which is a 3-day program that they can take again in their own time, and upskill their teams on how to code using less data, less duplication, you know, and get us on that trajectory to net zero. So we're super excited to be launching that.
No, that sounds amazing. So what is your zone of genius? What are you most good at?
I think for me, it's the ideas and then the communicating those ideas somehow. It might not seem that way today, but I like generating ideas, bringing people on a journey. My background is marketing, strategy, innovation. I was head of innovation and strategy at a previous role. I set up my own fintech for good company. So I'm passionate about tech. I'm passionate about learning and I'm passionate about having a positive impact. So I think anything around that is my areas of, like, you know, that's where you're going to get me in the good space. So I kind of thrive in that area. If there's something around tech for good or having an impact, that's my area, and the innovation aspect around that, how we can do things better.
So when you were talking about graduates coming into your program, what kind of experience would they have to have?
So, yeah, the students coming on, they typically have to show that there is a willingness to learn. You know, they have to have a real strong reason why they want to come to CodeClan. We put them through the puzzle and logic tests at the beginning to check they have an aptitude for that kind of logic. So do they have that kind of the brain that is going to enable them to approach, you know, coding? And we typically ask them to attend one of our workshops or taster sessions so they get an idea of what the class is going to be, what the classes are going to be like. So they're really kind of know before they come to CodeClan that is something they're interested in. And yeah, they don't have to have been working in the sector. It's not about that. Like I said, what it's about is about moving people from a non-tech career into a tech career. So they don't have to have been working or anything, but they really have to show that they really want to learn. They've looked into it. They know what they're signing up for and have passed our puzzle and logic test. That's kind of, yeah, and the interview process.
Okay. So is your interview process quite tough then?
No, I mean, I'd say, you know, we speak to all of our students that are coming on the programs for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. And then we also have them do these puzzle tests and we ask that they've attended one of the workshops, which they can do. So I wouldn't say it's too onerous, but they have to, you know, we have to make sure that our program is right for them. So we typically will meet most of the students that are coming through our cohorts.
Okay, excellent. So have you had any career disasters and how have you handled them?
Well, yes. So my startup failed, which I understand is a badge of honor if you're in the States to have at least one startup fail. So, yeah, I think that's quite a hard time because you have got, you know, a product in market, you've built a team, you've kind of raised investment, you've taken it to a certain level, but you can't get past that certain level. So then you have to let go of the team. You have to, like, you know, go to tell your investors that, you know, there's a lot of, I guess it's a stigma attached to it. Well, in the UK, whereas, like I say, it's not like that in other countries. It's kind of, that's your teething. You've done one. So now you should get onto the next one because you've basically learned all the things, a lot of lessons that you need to take into the next one. So yeah, after licking my wounds from that for a few months, yeah, I think that was hard. But the thing is that I did learn so much. I learned how to build a product, build a team, you know, the things, you know, raise investment, you know, get customers, all the things that you need to do. And those, you know, are really invaluable lessons to have tried, you know, especially creating a tech product in a regulated market. So a lot of lessons and, you know, a lot of things that you can take from that. With every cloud, there is a silver lining, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep. So how would you describe your typical working week?
A lot of meetings, a lot of outbound, speaking to customers, speaking to, I guess, being visible in the industry. For example, this week we are talking about our new product launch. So a lot of meetings with the team on that, a lot of planning sessions, doing a lot of marketing campaigns at the moment. So meeting with a lot of agencies and people that are helping us with that. Yeah, it's just a really mixed week of you know, we're doing a piece of research at the moment with young women code on all the intersectional barriers to women in tech. So we'll be publishing the findings from that next week. So there's press releases and data and, you know, video content. And yeah, it's very varied. So there's a lot of activities, a lot of things going on, a lot of, you know, informal and formal meetings. So I'll be speaking to people about various things at various times. And that is just a typical week.
Okay. That sounds interesting, because you were saying that you were having an initiative about, wasn't it, the women in tech, to see if there was any barriers. Is there still barriers there, do you think so?
Yeah, the recent report from Anna Stewart on the pathways for entrepreneurship, it's similar in tech. So that was kind of looking at why women aren't becoming entrepreneurs. There's similar reasons why women aren't going into the tech sector. So it's breaking the barriers of the language that's used in job adverts, making it attractive for women to go into those roles, and making there's obviously a massive still digital technology gender pay gap. So how do we break down the barriers of that? How do we get more childcare available so that women can get into tech? How do we create flexible jobs? Because the majority of women are still the majority carers for children or elderly family members, etc. So it's how do we break all those barriers down? So I think there's a lot of work done, and it's certainly a main focus for us at Code Clan, is how can we break some of those barriers down by getting more women trained. So providing funded places, but then providing flexible jobs at the end. So that's a real focus for me at the moment.
Okay. No, that sounds exciting. That does actually sound exciting. So how do you propose to go about doing that then?
Well, we're publishing our research next week, and then we're going to be launching our programs in the autumn. So we'll be building up the waitlist of students to get into those programs, and then getting the funded places for those students to start the programs. So it's fairly, you know, I'm very action oriented, so it's fairly straightforward. We market it to the right people, we get them to sign up, but we provide the places for free as well. So yeah, it's all about kind of making it an attractive proposition, and then providing getting them into the jobs at the end. That's very much what we do at Code Clan.
No, that sounds amazing, actually. So who do you always depend on at work?
Well, there is a very long list of people. I depend on many people. I mean, the organization wouldn't work if there wasn't everybody doing what they're doing. So I depend on my exec team, I depend on my leadership team, I depend on every single one that makes the campuses work every single day. So that's pretty much everyone that works here, including the cleaner. Yeah, I just depend on everyone. I'm at home, I depend on my daughter and my mom and my partner. Yeah, I think there's a lot of dependencies, which sounds bad, but it's actually really good, because it comes down to having that collaborative environment, and it is an ecosystem. So I depend on it all for everything to work. And, you know, there's a lot of cogs in the wheel, and it's kind of just keeping it all spinning together and bringing everybody with along on the journey. So, yeah, I wouldn't like to single anyone out, because it all has to work together. But yeah, we're all busy working together, which is good.
No, that sounds amazing, actually. But it is, I think. Even if I was to go through everybody that I relied on, I think it would be a list as long as you know.
Exactly. It's like the partners that we work with, the, you know, all of the different, every single thing is thing that I like kind of like need as part of my job. So there's a lot. It's a very long list. And yeah, the students, of course, the students, you know, because it's all about them at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is. What motivates you to keep going when times get tough?
I think it's about the outcomes. So today, for example, we had a graduation of one of our data cohorts graduated today. And it's, you know, data analytics and data analysis is the most in-demand skill in the market at the moment across the whole sort of tech sector and other sectors. It's really hot. So it's seeing them come on that journey, come to Code Clan, go through the program and come get to today where, you know, that's them off getting jobs in industry now. So it's you know, that kind of thing. When you see that and they're so happy and they've brought their friends and family to the event and, you know, they're now ready for their next step in their new career. And it's, you know, that's the rewarding piece, really. So, you know, we actually do change people's lives. So if you're having a bad day and then you see that and then you're like, wow, this is really what it's all about. So it is a brilliant feel-good factor job.
It is. It must be amazing, actually, to know that you're actually changing someone's life, though, for the better.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And similarly, when we do the Youth Academy as well, it's kind of taking people from, you know, with, you know, coming to Code Clan and then into their next opportunity. And that could be, you know, going to university or getting in an internship or things that weren't available to them before. So it's just, it is actually amazing to see the progress, which is fantastic.
It is. It is actually. So who was your role model and why did you find them inspirational?
There's been so many, actually. When I was founding my startup, I just sort of thought this person called Jude Orr was great. She had Richard Branson as a mentor and she had created this games company that had like a social good aspect to it. And I thought she was brilliant. And then I met Leslie Eccles, the founder at FanDuel, who was one of the tech unicorns who became my mentor. And then ultimately Richard Branson flew me out to the States to do a mentoring session when I had the startup because he named us Startup of the Year. So I've had so many mentors, you know, there's just been like so many different people that have inspired me over the years and, you know, continue to inspire me. You know, the list goes on and on and on, really. You know, and it could be anything that inspired me. You know, for example, I'm really Stella McCartney with all her vegan, you know, and cruelty-free, you know, fashion and Tracy Anderson, who's this fitness guru, but she has all this amazing digital platform and everything. It's just, there's so many things that I take inspiration from every day that just kind of, it just helps me like feel inspired and, you know, want to get up and try new things and do things and be better and help people and, you know, be a better human. And even the, you know, the sustainability engineering program that we're doing, you know, that's launching soon. And that's kind of a collaboration between us and a company called Go Code Green, where the founder of that is an Earthshot Prize winner. So it's kind of, there's all these inspiring people that, you know, are just there and they're, you know, for doing great things. So yeah, there's a lot of inspiration. If you just look for it, you can find it anywhere.
How do you manage your daily working schedule?
Well, I prioritize. So, you know, I figure out what are the main things that I need to get done. And I put blocks in my diary and then I put my meetings around them. And then, you know, I very much work with the team to make sure that we're all aligned on that these are the priorities. And if things need to change and, you know, there is a more urgent priority, then that will get done instead. But it's about, for me, time blocking and making sure that I do have that time to get that thing done, because that is the most important thing. And then I spend a lot of time helping the team. So mentoring, you know, helping the rest of the team do what they need to do as well.
If you were going to be mentored by anybody, if you were going to be mentored by anybody, who would it be? Who would be the one person you would like to be mentored by?
I don't know. I'd go for Michelle Obama right now. I'm aiming low. Michelle would do. Yeah, she'd be good.
Okay, interesting. Why is that?
I just think because she is so cares so much about people and she does so much. You know, she's kind of always engaged with young people, helping people, you know, putting another project in place, you know, supporting projects. You know, there's a lot of work that she does to actually move the dial. So someone like that is quite inspiring to me.
Okay. No, she is inspiring, actually. So I've got one maybe final question. If you could turn back time, would you change anything?
What would I do? It's hard to say. I mean, there's so many things that you do in life that you think, I wish I hadn't done that. But ultimately, like I said earlier, it's all a lesson. So, yeah, I mean, I know you can't go back. But, yeah, I think there's probably, shall I say, a lot that I would like to change, but appreciating that I can't change it all. I probably would have just had more wellness time, you know, as in, you know, you kind of like, if you're moving at 1,000 miles an hour and you're kind of just burning and burning and burning, like that's kind of, you know, I would probably just integrate a bit of zen into my life and a bit of calm and a bit of reflection rather than, yeah, the full speed in my head, which is the type of thing that I'm trying to do now. But to tell that to my younger self would have been maybe quite beneficial. But you live and learn.
You do, actually. I can totally relate to that. So if you were going to give one piece of advice to someone that was maybe new coming into the industry, what would it be?
I just say, give it a try. Sign up to a workshop and see if you like it. You know, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, but there's so many opportunities and it's just kind of just giving it a try.
Okay. No, thank you. Well, that's all the questions I have today. I would like to thank Laurel for your time. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening and see you next week. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I'd like to gently encourage you to leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with another person. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or via my website, www.michellefraserconsultancy.com. Thanks again for listening and see you next week.